A different type of homecoming and women's basketball. That's what we have on Tennessee Tech Today this week. Hello, everyone. I'm Buddy Pearson, the News and Communications Director, and thanks for tuning in to the award-winning Tennessee Tech Today show. This time of year, thousands of Tennessee Tech students and alumni would be gathering for homecoming festivities. But because of COVID-19, Homecoming 2020 looks a little different this year. There is no parade or football game, but homecoming has been celebrated all week with various virtual events and activities conducive for social distancing. With us to tell us more about what Homecoming 2020 has been like is Jerry Keaton, coordinator of student activities. Jerry, it's not your typical homecoming. There was no football game and no parade, but that didn't stop some of the activities this week and really getting the students fired up for homecoming anyway.
Oh, that's true. You know, our students, they have adapted well with everything going on with COVID and the changes we had to make this year with homecoming with no parade, no game. But you know what? We still provided a great opportunity to celebrate Tech Pride this week with homecoming.
You know, when you were planning this, what were some of the things that you thought, hey, we can do this even though, you know, we need to be, you know, aware of social distancing and aware of wearing masks and those kind of things? I mean, I'm sure there was a lot of thought that went into just coming up some of the activities that the students could participate in.
So I had to look at homecoming as how do we traditionally do homecoming? You know, what are the traditional events that these students enjoy and how can I make those adaptable to the COVID situation at hand? And what I did was, you know, we looked at the banners and we may say, you know, we couldn't necessarily have the banners in the UC where students could come in and view those, but we did a social media competition. Mm-hmm. And with the parade, instead of having the parade come through campus, we thought, why not have a reverse parade and the people actually go see the displays the students' organizations have put together?
Yeah, that's a great idea. And they still did put those things together. And you know, they were still able to work together and, you know, still have a competition, but still enjoy some of the fellowship that goes along with homecoming.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I will say the students have really enjoyed this week of homecoming, having the, you know, something that feels normal to them. Mm-hmm. And having homecoming is something that, you know, every student tends to look forward to every fall. And we wanted to make a point to actually still have, you know, a week of homecoming celebration for them.
Yeah. And I know that there were so many things that was going on, but one of the cool things that I know that happened was that students and alumni came together to raise some money for Tech's food pantry. Talk a little bit about that.
So traditionally what we do for homecoming is we do a canned food drive for different food banks in the area. And we thought this year, what better way to celebrate our students and to help out our students was to benefit something that directly helps them, and that was our campus food pantry. Mm-hmm. So we worked with alumni to do a crowdfunding drive, and we had our student organizations compete for points like traditionally they would do for the canned food drive, but they would make donations to the food pantry, and it exceeded my expectations from what they did. I was so proud and so amazed of what our students did. They raised over $19,000 for our campus food pantry to
Wow.
help benefit their fellow students. And I think that just shows that how compassionate our students are to each other, and it shows the caring that they have, and especially with everything going on this year and everything that has happened this year, I think our students realize that we need to help each other, and that is what they did. They stepped up in an amazing way.
Yeah. Now, even besides homecoming activities, I know you've been working to try and come up with other activities, virtual solo concerts and things like that. So is it safe to say this has been a challenging semester for you and your office?
It has been a very challenging semester. You know, we, for example, the solo concerts, we go from having 6,000 students in the Hoover Eblen Center to where we can't have that with social distancing mm-hmm. now. And so we had to adapt different ways we could have our solo events, and we found that our students are really interested in interacting with celebrities. So we have done, by the time the semester will be in, we will actually have done 10 different virtual solo shows. So instead of doing one major solo event, we've had, you know, 10 different celebrities that came in. We've had everybody from a cast member from The Office to a cast member or a writer for Saturday Night Live, mm-hmm. a cast member for Saturday Night Live, musicians, just a great variety and great diversity of these artists that our students can interact with. And they have been very receptive of it. I understand that they, you know, would really enjoy having them here, but for everything that's going on, they understand, and we are doing the best we can to provide that entertainment for them.
And the semester wraps up in a few weeks, and then we start looking toward the spring semester. And when you look toward the spring, what are some of the things that you're looking at? Is it going to be very similar to the fall, or do you think things may open up a little bit more where you can have some more on-campus activities?
Well, we are trying to hold some more on-campus events in the summer. One thing we actually tried this fall was we did an event called Live on the Plaza, mm-hmm. where we got three different local bands to actually play live music for our students on the plaza on a Thursday night. And we're actually going to continue that in the spring. And we may actually add a few more of those dates. I know we've got three scheduled right now, but we're looking at adding a couple more dates. And if we can, if artists will travel and if we can do it, we may have a small, somewhat of a smaller show. Traditionally, we will continue with the virtual shows. We're looking at a few bigger names for the spring. Mm-hmm. I can't name names right now. Don't want to give any, you know, teasers to anybody, but I think the students...
Come on, we'd
really
have an exclusive right here on Tennessee Tech today. but you're going to look at some of those other things that you can do in the spring.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, great.
I think the students crave that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, having, you know, in-person events now, so...
Do you look at what other universities do, or, you know, do you come up with some other ideas? I mean, obviously, it's not just a dilemma that Tennessee Tech is facing. It's colleges all across the country and all across the world, really, that, you know, they want to provide a good, you know, they want to provide good activities for their students, and they want them to, you know, to be able to enjoy themselves, but at the same time, be safe.
You know, I've spoken to some of my colleagues at MTSU, ETSU, UTC, and a couple other schools around the area, and we're all in the same boat together. Some schools have not done any virtual events. Some have done just a few virtual events, but we're all learning together with this. And we're all, you know, in communication to figure out what is the best course of action to provide, you know, fun activities and fun events for our students,
right,
whether they are virtual or in person. And, you know, the different protocols that some schools have in place for, you know, in-person concerts, or how are they doing maybe a virtual show compared to how we're doing a virtual show. So I think having that networking with different schools is helping out not only my office and my department, but those schools as well.
Yeah. Jerry Keaton with us on Tennessee Tech today. Anything else you want to add?
You know, I just want to say that, you know, I'm very grateful for our students. I hope they have had a wonderful time this week. And, you know, got to always tell them wings up.
All right. Thanks, Jerry.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be talking basketball. Stay with us.
More Tennesseans are turning to the state's best public university, Tennessee Tech. Tech produces bold, fearless, confident graduates who get an outstanding return on investment, who graduate with the least amount of debt in the South, who earn higher early career salaries. Tennessee Tech, just like our state, is soaring to greater heights. Tech is Tennessee. To find out more, visit tntech.edu/techistn.
Welcome back to Tennessee Tech Today. Well, there will be a basketball season. After a long off season, the Tennessee Tech men's and women's basketball teams are slated to tip off on Wednesday, November 25th. This week, we're focusing on the women's basketball program with head coach Kim Rosamond. Next week, we'll have men's basketball coach John Pelfrey. Well, the women's basketball team posted a 17-13 overall record last season, but wound up losing their last five games. There are high expectations for this year's Golden Eagle squad. And Tennessee Tech women's basketball head coach Kim Rosamond joins us now. And coach, you're entering your fifth season at Tennessee Tech. Can you believe this is your fifth season already? It seems how time flies.
It does. It definitely does. And, you know, that part of you feels like you've been here forever, but then part of you feels like it was just yesterday, you know, when you got here. But really excited, buddy, to, you know, be entering our fifth year here. Excited about the roster that our staff has worked really hard to put together, and excited that we finally got a schedule put together. You know, that's been a challenge with COVID, and it's changed a couple times, but you know, we're looking forward to November 25th and traveling to Nashville to take on Vanderbilt.
Yeah. Well, Coach, you know, the pandemic kind of hit after the end of your season last year. So you've had pretty much this whole off season to have to deal with things. What's it been like dealing with the pandemic during the off season?
You know, the virus and the pandemic has affected, you know, so many people in so many ways. So, you know, first you know, your heart goes out to all those that, you know, have lost loved ones or struggling, you know, job wise, or, you know, it's just, it has been a challenging, you know, last 8 or 9 months for so many, you know, as far as in relation to our basketball team, you know, it's been unique in the sense that, you know, we played, you know, lost a heartbreaker to the eventual champion SEMO in overtime on a last second shot. And, you know, we had spring break starting the next week. So we gave our kids a couple days off and that turned into 6 months. And, you know, you really didn't know when you were going to see them again, when you were going to get back.
Right.
And then you know that. So we miss the spring. We usually have our players back for camp in June and then all of July. We miss that. Finally got back to campus August 17th and were able to start workouts in September. And, you know, so, you know, I think it gives you, Buddy, it really gives you a perspective of, you know, I think basketball is challenging and rigorous and demands a lot from these kids. And sometimes you feel like, oh, I have to go to practice today. And I think it's really given them a perspective of what they get to do rather than what they have to do.
Sure.
You know, when you do something you love and it's taken away from you, even for a short period of time, it just really puts things in perspective, and we've tried to do that and just really approach this with a heart of gratitude that we're all back here together. We're able to, you know, try to move forward to have a season and, you know, get to do something we love with people we love.
You know, talk about coming into your fifth season, you know, you've been able to build some success the last few years and, you know, just part of a progression now. Do you feel like the foundation has been laid and, you know, you're ready to continue building on what you've done the last 4 years?
Yeah, you know, no question. This is the team that, you know, from, you know, for the last 2 or 3 years that, you know, we've said, hey, this team has a chance to be really special because, you know, and not that you didn't feel like that last year, you know, because we did some really good things last year. Didn't like how we ended, but, you know, did some really good things last year and have had two very successful seasons back to back. But, you know, anytime you've got a group of five seniors with the experience, the success that they've had, and even the ups and downs, you know, because you learn a lot in success, but you probably learn more, you know, when you struggle
right.
And you skin your knees a little bit. And these seniors did that their freshman year, and then they were part of a huge turnaround their sophomore year, and then their junior year, you know, had all the success early, especially in the conference season. And then that last month, you know, felt a lot of pain that last month, but,
yeah.
You know, we want to take that pain that we felt the last month, and especially that last game, we were so close against the team that went on to win it, you know, in the conference tournament, you want to take that pain and turn it into your power. And that's what we've talked about. We've learned a lot of lessons over the last 4 years with this senior group. And so you feel really good about your leadership. You feel really good about your depth, especially in the guard spot. You know, we've got a solid, you know, roster, not just with our seniors, but, you know, we added Anna Jones, who's a transfer from Middle Tennessee, you know, that will be eligible at semester break, who, you know, is a really good player. You know, we had two sophomores that got a lot of experience in Malia Owens and Jada Gwynn, and then a really nice freshman class that we've brought in here. So, you know, I like our roster a lot. And, you know, I really, really excited about this, what this team can do. Now, there's a lot of things out of our control every, you
sure.
know, it is every year, but especially this year, you know, from day to day, you don't know how many kids you're going to have in practice. And really, you know, you can get to the day of the game and don't really know how many kids you're going to have. You know, that will be there for the game.
Right.
But we're going to have, everybody's dealing with that, and we're going to have to just control what we can control.
Yeah, and you talk about those five seniors, Jordan Brock, Megan Clark, Abby Buckner, Keisha Brady, and Mackenzie Coleman. Obviously, five great players to start with, and Keisha Brady, all OVC in the preseason. They've been through the wars, as you said. How have they been in dealing with, pretty much what you just said? You know, you don't know from day to day what things are going to be like. Is it good that you have some senior leadership who can kind of help you and help the younger players, you know, kind of maneuver everything that you've been dealing with?
Without a doubt, you know, and look, our culture and you know, we talk about our SOAR culture all the time. You know, if you hear me in an interview or you hear our players in an interview, you know, you're constantly going to hear us reference, you know, our SOAR culture and, mm-hmm. and what it teaches and, you know, what it, you know, reminds us of every day. And, you know, it's what we're about. It's about responding. You know, it's not about what happens to you. It's about how you respond to it. And that's something that we've preached for 4 years. And boy, you know, it comes in handy when it comes to athletics. I don't know that we all knew how handy it was going to come in 2020.
Yeah.
But, you know, their leadership has been tremendous. We return our top three scorers in Keisha, Jordan, and Kenzie.
Mm-hmm.
Abby Buckner, you know, has been our glue and really our vocal leader for the last 3 years. And then Megan Clark, I just can't say enough about that kid and her toughness and how much she has improved over the last 2 years, and so excited about, you know, what I think she'll be able to bring in her senior year. You know, I as you're looking at our roster, you know, the one thing that is really disappointing and that probably a lot of people don't know yet, you know, is the fact that we won't have Taylor Lamb this year. She will be with us, but she will be with us on the bench. But she, Taylor has battled injuries the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And we lost her at the end of last season. Really, whenever, you know, the last month is when we lost her, and especially mm-hmm. when we struggled. She had hurt her back, and, you know, after a lot of consultations with the doctors, they have recommended that she medically retire. And so that's a tough piece to the puzzle that we've lost, because, you know, along with Kenzie, you know, I thought Taylor's such a smart player.
Yeah.
And while she's undersized, you know, she makes up for it with her hustle, with her basketball IQ, and just how tough she is and how hard she plays and the experience that she would also bring. So, you know, aside from Kenzie, you know, what we go in, we've got a lot of experience on the perimeter 1 through 4, but, you know, we're going to have to find, you know, that next person that's going to be ready to step up. And, you know, we've had several players that, you know, from DJ McFarland, who's really improved over the summer, to Madison Brady, who is a freshman that's coming in here, and Julia Curtis from right there at White County, who, you know, are battling every day in practice.
Sure.
And, you know, there you may look up there and there may be a time where we have five guards on the floor as well. You know, and I think while we may not have an advantage when we have five guards on the floor in a height capacity, I think from an experience, from an execution standpoint, and it might change the way we play defensively when we have those five out there.
Well, I know just looking at the roster now, you know, maybe these heights were logged after they had their hair fixed and the hair teased
and their
up.
Shoes on.
Yeah, and their shoes on. But I see six players over 6 foot on this roster, and I don't know that I've ever seen that much height on a Tennessee Tech women's basketball roster.
Yeah, we may have taken some of those in our high heels as well. But no, I mean, seriously, buddy, I do think we are a balanced basketball team.
Uh-huh.
And while, you know, we have a lot of weapons on the perimeter, and, you know, and I think Kenzie is going to be the best true post player mm-hmm. in our league this year, you know, and I'm really excited. She battled 2 years of injuries, and, you know, it's funny, God works in mysterious ways sometimes, and, you know, you always have to try to find positives no matter the situation. And while there's been a lot of negatives that have come from this COVID situation, you know, I do think this is probably the first year that any of these kids, since they've started playing, have had any time off to really, you know, rest their bodies.
Yeah.
And maybe even recover, mm-hmm. and that was what kept happening with Kenzie.
Right.
You know, because, you know, we would go from, you know, the season, they get 2 or 3 weeks off, and then right into, you know, the postseason. You know, and then into summer. And so Kenzie had, you know, had a really bad ankle injury her sophomore year that she never really recovered from. And, you know, I think this is probably the healthiest she's been since her freshman year. So, you know, that is one positive that has come out of the time off.
Yeah, that's great. Looking at the schedule, as you said earlier, you open up Wednesday, November 25th at Vanderbilt. You go to Chattanooga. Then you open up conference play on December 3rd at Jacksonville State. First home game slated for Sunday, December 13th. So it'll be a little while before some of these Golden Eagle fans, if however many are allowed to come into the Eblen Center, can see you guys play at home. But, you know, what's this talk a little bit about this schedule. How has it panned out for you?
Well, obviously, it's different in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not playing as many non-conference games. There are no exhibitions. There's no closed scrimmages. So, you know, there's even no practice. We don't have a guys practice team. So,
oh, wow.
So when we open up at Vanderbilt on November 25th, it will truly be the first time that we have played somebody other than ourselves, which is, you know, that's really different and really rare. But, you know, every team is going to be in that situation. So, you know, I think we have to take these five, well, the two non-conference games, because that's another unique situation. You know, you've got a conference game right in the middle of December, your third game of the year.
Yeah.
You know, so we've got to take these first two games and just use it as feedback. You know, to get us prepared for conference. Now, does that mean that we don't go to Nashville or we don't go to Chattanooga, you know, with the intention of winning and that
sure.
being our goal? Absolutely not. You know, but at the same time, there's going to be a lot of learning, a lot of correcting, you know, in games that you're normally not doing, you know, when you get to conference play with that third game being conference play. So, you know, we were forced with the pandemic to really have to do more of a regional schedule. We were really fortunate that, you know, we're not having to travel very far because of the health and safety of our players right now. Is first and foremost with anything that we do. And so we're trying to cut down on our travel time on buses and hotels, being away from campus. And so we were able to do that. And I do think I'm excited about December. You know, we've got three really tough home games to finish out before we go into Christmas. You know, Western Carolina is a team that we barely, beat last year at their place. They'll be much improved as well. Samford is a team that won their conference last year and was mm-hmm. headed to the NCAA tournament, you know, before everything got shut down. And then I think I just saw where Mercer has won their league the last two out of 3 years, and they were a very young team last year. And didn't win it last year, but are picked to win it again this year. They've got everybody back. They were mainly freshmen and sophomores last year. So we will get three really, really challenging games, and our fans will get to finally get a look at us before we break for the holidays, and then we'll come back and start it out with the defending conference champions in SEMO.
Yeah, and, you know, you look at the OVC preseason poll, of course, you've got UT Martin, and you have Southeast Missouri, and you've got Belmont, and, of course, there's Tennessee Tech. I mean, those are the four teams that people think are going to be battling it out right there at the top of the league. Is that pretty much your assessment? Is that what you think, too?
Well, there's no question. You know, UT Martin's got everybody back, you know, and they've got the best player, one of the best players in the country in Chelsea Perry. You know, you saw what she did last year, and she's that kid's a pro. Based off how she played last year, she is a pro. And so they're going to be very, very good. SEMO returns a lot, you know, Belmont. You know, it is Belmont, but I'm going to tell you now, I think while I agree with all three of those teams and I put us right there in the mix, cause I think we've got a great shot as long as we stay healthy to be in the championship hunt. But I think there's several other teams that are going to have an opportunity to shake things up. This, and I said this last year, and it turned out to be that you know, I thought last year was going to be one of the most competitive years we've ever had in our league, and it was.
Right.
But I think this year has got the chance to be even better. EIU, who went from last to fourth mm-hmm. last year, they've got everybody back. Murray, you know, was decimated with injuries at the end of the year last year, but returned some really good players and add an outstanding freshman class. You know, Jacksonville State is just, and Rick Petrie is always, they are always a really, really tough team and a difficult matchup. So, you know, I think on any given night, I think anybody can beat anybody in our league. But I'm telling you, buddy, people don't need to sleep on the OVC, because OVC women's basketball from top to bottom is as good as it's been in a very long time. And it's always been a very, very good league. But I think this year could shake out to be one of the best.
Yeah. I'm talking with Kim Rosamond, who's in her fifth year with Tennessee Tech women's basketball. Coach, anything else you want to add? Talk to us about the upcoming season or kind of what you've been going through?
Yeah, you know, well, I'll tell you, I will say this, buddy. You know, this is our 50th anniversary of Tennessee Tech women's basketball this year. And, you know, we had a lot of awesome events planned that we're not going to get to do in person, but we will still recognize the anniversary this year. There will still be, you know, recognition during games, you know, on the video board of past championship teams and just all the great players that have been through this program and the legendary coaches that we've had here, especially Coach Worrell and Coach Mary Nell Metters. And so, you know, we won't get to do all of the in-person events we wanted to do, but we will still recognize it and celebrate it. But we will plan next year to still have those events and do it. So this is going to be, while this is going to be the 50th year, we're going to stretch it out for 2 years and really, really celebrate all of the tradition and success of this great program.
Yeah, it is one of the most storied women's basketball programs in the history of college basketball. So why not stretch it out for a couple of years? Might as well.
No doubt. It deserves it. That's for sure. And buddy, this Saturday, November 14th, mm-hmm. We have our Maintain the Tradition free throw fundraiser that people can go onto Tennessee Tech YouTube channel and watch live. We'll have interviews with every single coach, every single player. So all of the new faces that will be added, you'll be able to see them live. You'll also be, if you can't watch it, it's at 10 a.m., starts at 10 a.m. on Saturday. If you can't watch it live, you can go back and watch the replay. Unfortunately, you know, out of, you know, caution and safety for our players and our fans and our families, it will be closed to the public this year, but you'll still be able to view it on our YouTube channel. And you can find the link on our TTU sports page, as well as all of our Facebook and Twitter accounts as well.
Okay, that sounds good. So want to make sure everybody can know about that fundraiser and contribute and help out. Yeah, the Meet the Eagles event, we always love that, especially getting breakfast, or, you know, it used to be a potluck and then you turned it into a breakfast kind of thing. So, yeah that's always
biscuits been, and basketball.
Yeah, biscuits and basketball. It's always been a great event. Well, Coach.
And we will miss those in-person opportunities this year, buddy.
Sure.
But, you know, we will start them back again next year, you know, but there will still be basketball in the Hooper Evelyn Center, and still a lot to look forward to. And hopefully, you know, I know so many people right now are going through tough times, and, you know, whether it's health wise or, you know, things like that. But hopefully we can, you know, every Thursday and Saturday of conference play, we can give them something to look forward to and escape that a little bit.
Absolutely. Coach Kim Rosamond with us here on Tennessee Tech Today. Coach, good luck. We cannot wait to see the Golden Eagles tip off against Vanderbilt and come back from Nashville with a win.
Thanks so much, buddy.
All righty. And don't forget, we will be talking with men's basketball head coach John Pelfrey next week. Well, that's going to wrap up Tennessee Tech Today for this week. Be sure to check out the T2 website at tntech.edu or check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Until next week's show, be bold, fearless, confident, and kind. Wings up, everybody.